This is Ozarks at Large for Monday, June 13th, 2011. Ahead on the program, the board's head players at the University of Arkansas take an optimistic view of life, love, and New York City for their first production of the summer. And the KUAF Fulbright Chamber Music Festival turns to Piazzolla, Strauss, and Mendelssohn for its fourth concert of the summer season. First on the program, a name from Arkansas's past, Edward William Parker. Never heard of him? That's not unusual. Until recently, Tom Dillard, the director of special collections at the University of Arkansas Library, was unfamiliar with the name as well.
I had heard of Parker and Worthen, which was an early bank in Arkansas right after the Civil War. So I knew the name, but I had no idea who the person was behind the name.
His name is known to special collections now. Recently, letters written by Parker in the 19th century, some of them offering an insight into the state as Civil War approached, were recently opened for research. The letters had been passed from generation to generation of a family until a woman in Little Rock, Emmalou Hamilton, took a deep interest into the letters. The Hamilton family donated those letters to special collections a few months ago. The correspondence doesn't give a complete overview of Arkansas life in the 19th century, but Parker's letters do offer a glimpse of life in a frontier state.
It is not a massive body of archival documents that we would like to have. Somebody of this nature, Edward Parker, a man who was here in the lead up to the Civil War, through the Civil War, through Reconstruction, and then the building of Arkansas, the rebuilding of Arkansas after the Civil War. He lived through all of that and died in the early 1900s. So you would think that somebody of this stature, that there would be a great bulk of papers, a body of papers about them, but that's not the case. So while there are several dozen letters here that give us a very interesting look into various points in Arkansas's past, it is not a massive archives documenting Edward Parker and his work.
Krista Jones, a graduate history student at the university and senior manuscripts processor with Special Collections, says since there was little known about Edward Parker before the letters were opened, the best way to get to know him was to sit down and read his words.
There were days when I really did not want to stop working because I wanted to finish the year out of 1861 and see what was going on. It was very interesting to have a little glimpse, a little window into this person that I have absolutely no idea of, never met them, and lived 100 years before I was even thought of, and getting a glimpse of what he was encountering and his thoughts of everyday life. So you do get lost in the story.
Here is some of Edward Parker's backstory. He was born in Galveston, Texas in 1842 to a family with strong ties to the United States Northeast. When he was young, he moved with his family first to New Orleans, then to a Shaker community in Pleasant Hill, Kentucky. In 1856, about the time he'd be 14, he moves to Arkansas to live with his mother's cousin on a working plantation. Much of the correspondence is between Edward Parker and his mother. He in Arkansas, she still with the Shakers in Kentucky. Those letters provide a first-person account of the buildup to the war, a war Edward Parker's mother wants her son to have nothing to do with at all. Again, Tom Dillard, head of Special Collections.
You get into this human drama. What are we going to do? This nation that we've all been so loyal to is showing signs of fraying. And so in the letters, you do begin to get a look at this internal debate that's going on, not only within a family, into Parker family, the extended family, but also within each individual as they have to sort of lay out the plan for themselves. And in a letter dated February the 7th, 1861, this is while the Constitutional Convention is meeting in Little Rock, but before secession, he writes a letter to a cousin. Actually, this is a letter. Yeah, this is a letter from Edward Parker, and he's writing a cousin. And he talks about these times. I, with thousands of conservative men, have ever been for the Union. I take papers from all sections of the country, have an extensive correspondence, have closely noticed our congressional action, and for 6 weeks My faith of the Union being preserved has been getting weaker and weaker until I have given up all hope, and now I am for immediate secession.
Parker continues to write in that letter that the formation of the Confederacy may mean financial ruin, but he's resigned to the war's beginning. Krista Jones says researching the letters gives a reader a chance to see a family's conversation delivered across state lines.
And while he's dealing with those thoughts, he's also hearing from his mother and his father, who are in Pleasant Hill, Kentucky, who are Shakers, which do not believe in violence, trying to ask them to please stay out of politics. Don't voluntarily get yourself into politics. And take this time to spread Shakerism, spread the faith, and not have everybody so geared up for war.
There is also some correspondence with a brother, Henry, who moved to Arkansas to attend college and interrupted his education to fight with the Confederate States. Those letters are few. There are some details Henry gives about training for combat. He was wounded at the Battle of Shiloh in 1862, and the wound keeps him from fighting for the duration of the war. The relatively few details of the Civil War are important and interesting, but Tom Dillard says there are snippets of everyday life in the letters that are fascinating and even surprising.
While I intellectually know that life could be cheap on the frontier, I remember one letter in particular that talks about violence on the lower Arkansas River. And I'll just read you a little section from that. And it was kind of surprising, the cavalier nature of the way death was discovered. There was a murder committed at the Post the other day, meaning Arkansas Post. George Oakley was stabbed right through the heart, and after he had lain a little while on his back, he was taken out and thrown in the weeds, and it is a wonder that hogs did not get at and eat him. There was a man shot at Napoleon, but not killed. No cause known. The one who shot him ran away. Don't know who killed Oakley. No arrests made. There were seven persons in the room. The candle was blown out and the deed done. Please direct your letters to this office. So...
Such a very calm way to end.
To report on murders and, stabbings through the heart.
Tom Dillard says the letters offer descriptions of life in slow motion, at least to readers in the early 21st century. Correspondents could only travel as fast as a galloping horse or a steamboat. That, he says, may have given people a chance to consider or ruminate on matters longer than we can imagine. There are fewer letters in the collection, written the months and years after Edward Parker's mother dies. And for Krista Jones, that meant pieces of a puzzle that are missing.
It became very frustrating at one point because I wanted to know, well, did so-and-so get that job? When did Edward Parker remarried? We know he remarried after he divorced his first wife, but when did it happen? How did they meet? And so it does get frustrating not to have every important fact in detail.
And to follow up on that a little bit, this issue of frustration associated with documenting lives through archival collections. In the case of Edward Parker, I was frustrated by the fact that there are no letters there that really deal with his building of this economic empire. A banker, very successful banker. He sold his interest in Worthen Bank early on and used that capital to branch out and diversify, but we don't know very much about that. We know very little about it. We know that he was able to retire, and move back to Massachusetts and leave his businesses in charge of various family members. But that's only a skeleton of the life of a very successful businessman. I really wish we could get beneath that skeleton and really find the information that we need.
Those details may never be known, or perhaps are in another collection of letters in an attic or garage somewhere, waiting for fresh eyes. The letters of Edward William Parker are now cataloged and available for research at special collections at the University of Arkansas Library. This is Ozarks at Large.